two little words, five letters, that change everything. For us. For us. For us. And nothing can ever quite be the same again. It's a well-known fact that you only get out of life what you put into it. It's possible, for example, to go and see a play or a film, and for it to move us deeply. We get involved in, say, the tragedy of Romeo and Juliet. We allow ourselves to feel the pain of their separation, the agony of their inability to understand their parents' irrational prejudices. The drama and the craziness gets to us. Equally, we can see a play and not be affected by it one little bit. We choose to remain aloof, coldly assessing the performance, watching critically from a safe emotional distance. Rather than feeling the pain, we stay cool. We're not touched by it, not stirred and shaken by its pathos and sadness. Again, there are people, so I'm told, who can watch Scotland playing, say, England at football or rugby and be indifferent to it. Strange but true. They watch the game merely as a technical exercise, rather despising the hysteria and enthusiasm of the crowd. They choose to stay above it all, not sharing the excitement, the gloom and despair of defeat, the occasional euphoria of victory. That level of coolness is perfectly legitimate. We can disdain the seductive excitement of the terraces, but are we not maybe missing out on something here? Are we not, in some way, cheating ourselves of a special experience that the situation, the game, the drama could give us if we could just give ourselves a little to the moment? We don't feel the thrill and we don't feel the joy because it means nothing to us personally. We refuse to allow it to mean anything to us personally. So because we've not entered into the experience, because we're not one of the tens of thousands of supporters in a state of unalloyed delight, or more likely sunk in bitter tasting disappointment, some might say we've sold ourselves short. Clearly, it's only insofar as we personally venture into a situation and allow it to become meaningful, significant, important for us, that the situation gives us anything, reaches us in any sense, is able to enrich our experience of life in any way. A sermon can be straight for us. I felt as if he was speaking just to me. Or it can be made by our refusal to let it reach us. It can be made to skim over the surface of our feelings, our mind, our will, and become instead just the thing the people in my office ought to hear, or just the right thing to shake up the traditionalists. Some Germans are still apologetic about the war. Somehow guilt is felt by people who weren't even born at the time of the atrocities and the horrors of Nazism. But they have allowed themselves to enter into their nation's story and feel somehow the responsibility of that nation for what happened way back then. Although they weren't actively involved, couldn't have been actively involved, it touches on them. They feel, they permit themselves to feel an identity with the story at a personal level. And they apologise. And because we can relate situations and experiences to ourselves, they become important to us. The ancient tale of the Good Samaritan illustrates that when we see a person in need, while we have the option of distancing ourselves from them and walking on by, equally we can involve ourselves personally, intimately, and at great personal inconvenience with their plight. Enter the situation not merely as an observer, but as a participant in the story, an actor in the drama, and we can help make a difference. Insofar as we allow what is happening around us and what is happening in the historical framework in which we live to have an effect on us, these things, these people, these experiences can enrich us and deepen our understanding of the meaning of things, the connectedness of everything. When we hold back or remain aloof or keep ourselves detached or semi-detached, we choose to keep ourselves to ourselves, then we risk robbing ourselves of the good things that these people or moments or experiences can give us. It's really only as we come to see the events concerning Jesus Christ as also having significance for us in November 2020, perhaps the ultimate significance for us, that they are enabled to achieve their full meaning and can give us what it's in their power to give us. And seeing that happen in people's lives is one of the most wonderful things about ministry. What was routine becomes sacred. What was something for someone else becomes vital and precious with an intensity and a power never imagined or experienced. What was out there comes to in here. From first to last, from beginning to end, his story is transformed when we let it get up close and personal. What a different thing in quality and meaning for the Christian is the birth of Christ. How infinitely more precious and beautiful, because the Christian acknowledges, believes in faith, that the baby came for me. I come and worship him at the stable. From a purely scientific historical point of view, the life of Jesus of Nazareth is significant. He divides time, he defines Christendom, his influence on art, music, architecture, literature is profound and pivotal. Only the most prejudiced would deny his impact has been staggering. But it's when we allow his teaching to relate directly to us, when we see his example and his life containing an imperative for us, a command that is for us, when we allow that his temptations, his tiredness, his love and his compassion were to do with us, that he lived a life of communion with God and took the way of obedience that required he walk the Via Dolorosa, the way of tears, because he loved me, then that interesting life of Jesus of Nazareth, conundrum of history, becomes much more than that, much more than historically important and intriguing. It becomes instead crucial to each of us. It was for us he lived and wept and toiled and cared. We are the sheep he speaks of, the strong, loving, broken shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, for me, for you. We always regret the unnecessary death of a good man. But when we let ourselves see that somehow that death was for us, his life of obedience and his ultimate acceptance of the way of the cross was born out of his care for us, then the event of the cross becomes one of not only cosmic but also profoundly personal importance. We may not know, we cannot tell what pains he had to bear, but we believe it was for us. He hung and suffered there. Two little words, five little letters that change everything for us. We are confronted there on the cross, face to face, with his love for us, the very love of God. It's when we say, he died for me, that what could merely be a very tragic and unfortunate moment in human history becomes the ultimate moment of revelation of the very heart of God, the tireless love of God. When we allow it to relate to us, the reality of the cross of Jesus brings us to our knees. When we sing, when I survey the wondrous cross, and we do so with a new sense, a new understanding, a soul-searing sense of wonder and personal connection. So that when Easter morning breaks on the world, when we see our failures, our sins, our weakness and our need gathered up in the victory of Easter, this perplexing event that we could view objectively, coldly, academically, from a distance, never losing our cool or our control for a second, when it becomes the decisive event of our life, we see it differently. We see him differently. When we see what happens at that empty tomb, happening on our behalf, our eternal hope hanging on the outcome, our future dependent upon the triumph of love, then it's a whole new ball game. A whole new ball game. Now, the Jews, as you know, practice a feast called Passover, in which they eat a specifically prepared meal and reflect upon the events of the great exodus from Egypt under the leadership of Moses, a critical moment in the history of their nation, indeed the experience through which their nation was born. even in the year 2020. They celebrate this feast. And they do it because they identify themselves with what went on back there all those thousands of years ago. They're saying, yes, it happened so long ago, yet we are involved. Indeed, without it, we are nothing. We come to the Lord's table today, young and old, hobbling and bent, fresh and strong, because we know that we are involved. We confess together that his body was broken, his life poured out, and that saved us. We don't know all the theological technicalities of that, how it was achieved. But the teaching of our faith is that there on the hillside called Calvary, the salvation of the world was wrought in blood and sacrifice, and we affirm and declare that faith. We depend upon it. The sacrament of Holy Communion, a religious moment that might seem to the cool and objective observer to be a rather odd religious ceremony. But it is for us the sign that all that God is and all that Christ has done was not in pursuit of some abstract ideal, but done for people, to put things right for people, for you, for me. We rejoice today because we celebrate the sacrament that assures us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For us. This is the secret mystery of communion. It all becomes clear and inescapable for us. What this life of faith is about, this journey we make with the Lord, how it works, how it's possible, all things considered, for feeding on his truth, taking his presence into our heart, bringing his spirit into our living, feeding on the words that take us to the word of life. This is the way forward. This enables us to do the Christian thing and to make the journey to the end.